It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome on in to the 66th, aka the Bill Berge edition. Bill Berge Chevrolet. I mean, isn't that he's a big car guy and also an Eagle great, an overall Philly legend? This is the Counterpoint Podcast. I know you thought that you may never, ever hear the Counterpoint Podcast ever again, and I'm sure there were some of you out there rooting for it, but guess what, baby? We are back because, listen, obviously I've been super busy with work. I've been super busy with Philly stuff. I mean, I told you during the run last year, the Eagles run, I was like, listen, there's a niche for me here, and I've just, you know, I'm turning into a Phillies guy. So, but I obviously could not do the Jack Fritz name test. I mean, the Jack Fritz name test is something that many of you, that's the calling card of the Counterpoint Podcast. Like, the Counterpoint Podcast in and of itself is the Jack Fritz name test. I mean, literally, the Jack Fritz name test, and unfortunately for people like Daniel Jeremiah, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, like, it's coming out late this year, and they're going to have to adjust their mock drafts very late. I mean, they're going to have to adjust them maybe even tomorrow. Like, they are going to have to adjust their mock drafts based off of what I am going to say about certain players in this draft, because I am currently reviewing the Daniel Jeremiah mock draft, and there is someone going number 3 overall that I think should be selling insurance somewhere. So we will get to the Jack Fritz name test. So where have I been? Let's just blame it all on Barcher. This is all Barcher's fault. He's totally surprising the Counterpoint Podcast once again. It's just sad. But we are back for this episode. So we have a little stuff I want to run down, a little stuff that we've been over, a little stuff that we haven't been able to talk about just yet. I definitely want to talk about Carson. I want to talk about the draft, and of course, Howie season. Also, I do want to talk to the Mush Gods, because the Mush Gods, I feel like the Mush Gods are getting me back for the playoff run. Like, the Mush Gods, I was in their heads, they had no idea what to do. They were so confused. They finally got me back for the New Orleans game. But ever since that point, like, everything that I have predicted with the Phillies has gone south. Nick Pivetta has been horrible, and I think that's the Mush Gods getting one back on the kid. So we will get back on to the Mush Gods, and of course we were going to do the Jack Fritz name test. I'm going to do the whole first round, and we're going to start grading picks, and of course at the end, the Counterpoint mailbag. But first, I want to talk about Carson Wentz, because I am just so sick and tired of the Carson Wentz slander that I see everywhere. I am sick and tired of these Donovan McNabb stories in relation to Carson Wentz. I'm sick and tired of this anti-Carson Wentz thing that is growing. I mean, I haven't even done a podcast since the Joe Santoliquido shit. So, like, this is the official Counterpoint position on Carson Wentz. We are taking fucking names, because in 6 months, we are all going to remember what Carson motherfucking Wentz is. I am sick and tired of hearing about Nick Foles. He is in Jacksonville, and we're never going to hear about him again. I am sick and tired of these hit pieces on Carson Wentz. I am sick and tired of him being outranked by far shittier quarterbacks in the NFL. I want to let every single person that has doubted Carson Wentz, I want to let them know that we in the trust tree do not forget. We do not forget those who have doubted Carson and who have been anti-Carson, because that time is over. He is our franchise quarterback. He's going to get paid like one soon, and he's going to lead the Eagles to the promised land. I am sick and tired of these articles. I am sick and tired of the slander. He had a freaking broken back and coming off of like triple knee surgery. And in doing all of that, he still was a top 12-ish quarterback. So at Carson's absolute worst, he was still a top 12 quarterback. So can we just all, for the love of God, just calm down on the Carson thing? He is going to be good. He is going to be fine. And he's going to lead this team to the promised land. He has a whole offseason to get completely healthy. I know the other day he said that he's back, still not 100% back yet, which is whatever. Maybe they overshot the three-month thing that Doug said. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't care. Because when even Carson, at his absolute fucking worst, was still a very good quarterback. I feel like that's what's been lost in this whole thing. Like, Carson Wentz, bad last year. Carson Wentz was not bad last year. Was he as good as he was in 17? No. Was he coming off of triple knee surgery and also had a deteriorating back in the middle of the season? Yes, he was. So can we just stop with the freaking overrating, like the overration of Carson Wentz by some people? Like, just let the guy play football. Let the guy get healthy, come back, and dominate. Okay? Now, with all that being said, Carson, this point, this part of the podcast is for you. Please shave that beard. The beard has it looks Amish. Like, you have a red beard. It is too long. It is too long. You need to shape it up a little bit because it just doesn't work. You have a shaved-ish head. It doesn't work that your beard is like that. It doesn't make any sense. Carson, I know you listen to the podcast. I know it's been a while. I know we've been talking a while. I know you're probably losing confidence because you haven't had the trust tree in your corner. The trust tree is back. And guess what, buddy? First rule of the trust tree, shave that beard. You have to shave it all the way down, but trim it up. Like, you just look like an Amish person. I can't have my franchise quarterback looking like an Amish person. I can't go in a whole rant about how you're going to be this superstar. You are a superstar, but also have you having that kind of beard. So if you could please, please, please shave your beard. That's all I'm asking for. That's all I want. It's not a great look. I understand it's the offseason, and once OTAs roll around, you're going to be back to clean-shaven Carson. But between the Carson beard being too long, and the neck acne or whatever that was, he cleaned it up a little bit. Okay, we got to figure that stuff out. Like, this is the NFL. This is a franchise quarterback. This is franchise swag. Like, you can't be having a long beard and neck acne and all that stuff. Like, it's time to mature a little bit. You're 26. I mean, doesn't acne go away by then? I mean, I still have some acne, but I'm 25. I'm not an adult yet. So, like, Carson, for the love of God, please shave it up and figure it out. Okay. So that's it. That's the Carson rant. It has been cooped up inside me for too long. Just like Arya in Game of Thrones, I have a list, and I will not forget. That's my threat. I will not forget. Thank you. Now, got to go into the trust tree, because I just have to be honest. Ever since the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I, myself, have become complacent. Tomorrow is the NFL draft, and I just don't care. Like, I know it's important, and they literally have to crush a draft because they have to pay Carson soon and whatnot. Like, they need young talent. They're an older roster. They need to start getting some youngish talent on this roster. Like, this is the most important draft in the last 5 years. Like, if you want to keep this Super Bowl window open as long as possible, you have to crush this draft. And tomorrow's the draft. And I just don't really care. Like, I'm doing my draft research the last 2 days, and it's just like, I don't even know. Actually, I know what I want the Eagles to do. But still, it's like, it just feels like there's no buzz, there's no juice. But and for me, in the trust tree, like, this is why the trust tree exists. Like, for me, when the Eagles had not won the Super Bowl yet, I was breaking down draft strategy. I was saying what they have to do if they want to try to win a Super Bowl. I was saying what they got to do in the first round, when they can trade up, trade down. And ever since they won, it's just like, hey, we won the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, Howie's got it. Howie will figure it out. Trust in Howie and Joe Douglas and all that stuff. But it's weird. It's a weird place to be in as a fan. And I never thought I would get complacent. And I couldn't stand the Eagles Super Bowl fans either. But it's just how I'm at. That's where I'm at. It feels like a lot of people out there. We don't even have the guy that everyone wants to trade up for. Usually once a year, it's like, we got to trade for this guy, we trade for that guy, or else this whole draft's a bust. If they don't draft this guy, they're never going to win ever again. So, but that's just not the case this year. It's not the case at all. We've gotten so complacent that we're rooting for a trade down. Like, what the fuck? Like, this is not how it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be trade for this guy, or else Howie should be fired. Like, there's just none of that. There's absolutely none of that. I don't know what happened. I mean, I honestly know what happened. The Super Bowl happened. The Super Bowl happened, and everyone got complacent. We're all fat cats. We all said we never get fat cats, but here we are. The city of Philadelphia is a football city that has gotten fat over the last 2 years, and we're not holding them accountable, which I don't even know what that means. Holding anyone accountable doesn't make any sense. It literally is the one thing in sports media that just makes no sense to me. Because what the fuck does that even mean? Anyway, but the Super Bowl is just, I am getting excited for the draft, slowly but surely, but it's just not the same as years past. There's two Iowa tight ends here that I see going in the top like 15. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's just whatever. I think everyone in the trust jury is kind of on the same path there. I have one overall draft rule that I want the Eagles to abide by. This is me holding the Eagles accountable. It's a real term that people use that doesn't really make any sense, but we're going to hold them accountable. Because guess what? The one draft rule, this draft will be a success if this happens. Dear Howie, no players from the University of Washington. We're not touching anyone from the University of Washington in this city ever again. The city of Philadelphia has officially banned drafting players from the University of Washington. You have to fall in line. I know there's some guy in the first round, there's a first round talent that went to Washington. Number one rule, no players from Washington. Sidney Jones and Markel Fultz. That's it. No more. No more. No one wants it anymore. Your draft, Howie, may be fine. The way to ensure that it will 100% be fine is if you draft no players from Washington. Only rule. And speaking of Howie, what is your version of Howie Roseman doing tonight? Because I always envision Howie around this time kind of going on like a Quagmire thing where he's like giggity giggity. Like, that's how I picture Howie at night, the night before the draft. Like, just can't sleep, can't do anything, not talking to his kids, just on his computer all night. Just his phone is only charging. Like, he doesn't even have to pick up his phone because he knows, like, he's just going to kill some GMs tomorrow. Like, I envision Howie Roseman the night before a draft getting a big ass steak, a full ass glass of wine, because he knows the next day he's going to need all the protein because he is going to go kill some GMs. Like, that is my version of Howie Roseman. My version of Howie Roseman is getting a big ass steak, some wine, not talking to his kids, maybe watching some last minute tape on some guys, envisioning a trade up, probably going to trade down. Because I envision Howie Roseman tonight is going to while enjoying his big ass steak and big ass glass of wine, he is salivating at the mouth thinking about what he's going to get from John Elway when John Elway tries to trade back up for Drew Lock. Like draft season Howie is just a dangerous animal. Draft season Howie, because this is when Howie Roseman shines, where it's trade down, trade up. He has his guys on his board. He has to decide what he wants to do. And I wonder eventually if opposing GMs are just going to not pick up the phone. Like, if they're going to see a 215 area code and they're going to look down and they're just not going to pick it up. Because name a trade Howie Roseman has lost. Like, it's hard to find. It really is hard to find. He is the absolute GOAT. And Howie season just completely being here. I am, for as excited as I am about the future Eagle that they will eventually pick, like, just seeing Howie operate on draft day is a treat every single year. Every single year. So my version of Howie Roseman, first off, not sleeping tonight, enjoying a huge steak, and just preparing for the kill. That's what this is. It's like before, you know, back in the old days, I assume this would happen, but they would have a big ass meal, and then they would go out for the hunt. You know what I mean? Like, they would have that last supper, and then they would go out on the hunt, and they would be looking to kill some animals. That's how I envision Howie thinking about his draft day. Like, he's going to kill some animals, aka other GMs, and just take them for all they're worth, because that's what he does. And if you think John Elway, I don't know why I'm so obsessed with this. I think Scheel wrote about it today on The Athletic. Like the idea of John Elway trying to outmaneuver Howie Roseman in a trade back up for Drew Lock has me salivating at the mouth. And imagine me salivating at the mouth, but with Howie Roseman and a huge steak dinner with some salt on it, and make sure it's marinated and it's probably cooked like medium. There's a little pink in there. It's a really good steak and a bottle. I don't even like wine, but like Howie probably likes wine. And just think of that level of salvation. That's Howie thinking about John Elway picking up his phone, going for Drew Lock, who fucking stinks. And again, John Elway, who is going to use more draft capital to go up and get a quarterback who fucking blows, and draft Drew Lock because he has a good arm, and give up a third round pick and whatever. Like, it's just I feel bad for Denver fans. I really do. Like, that winning that Super Bowl is probably the worst thing that could happen for Broncos fans, because that validated John Elway, and John Elway is fucking horrible at his job. And Howie, while enjoying his steak dinner that is cooked medium and has some salt on it with his bottle of wine that was marinated perfectly with the steak, he is going to just destroy John Elway in a trade. I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. So, Howie, enjoy your non-sleep tonight. Enjoy that big-ass steak, and let's get the job done tomorrow. All right, Mush Gods, it has been a while, but I feel like I need to talk to you real quick. Because I have some things that I need my teams to do tomorrow. So as you well know up there, is I am a diehard. My favorite team is whoever beats the Eagles. That's my favorite team to root for. So obviously diehard Giants, Redskins, Cowboys. Because I hate the Eagles so much that I root for whoever plays the Eagles on Sunday. And obviously since the Redskins, Giants, and Cowboys, my teams, are all in the NFC East, like they play them twice a year, I try to follow their drafts as much as possible. So I'm coming to you, Mush Gods, for that. And I know I've had a bad pass with the Mush Gods. Like, you've gotten me many times. Like, you own me. You really do. Like, you're so far inside my head that I don't even know what to tweet anymore. So, Mush Gods, let me just please ask you this. If the Giants don't draft Daniel Jones tomorrow, they're going to be in purgatory forever. The guy moves his feet a lot like Peyton Manning, but also has an arm like Tom Brady. And if the Giants pass up on the opportunity to draft Daniel Jones, and don't even get me started thinking that superstar, that future star, is going to fall to 17. Like, don't even joke around with me, Mush Gods. Like, don't even joke around with me thinking that so many 16 other teams are going to, on this anniversary of Aaron Rodgers saying that the worst thing the 49ers did was pass up on him. Don't let it happen again to my Giants. You cannot, please, Mush Gods, go into Gettleman, who, I mean, Dave Gettleman, once again proving he just is the man for the job, the man of action, Dave Gettleman, just so good at his job. And I don't want anyone else leading my franchise. Thank God he's gotten rid of analytics in football, and he's going back to the wing tee offense. It's really smart. Thank God we drafted Saquon Barkley last year and are committing to a 37-year-old quarterback. And by the time we're ready to compete again, that running back is going to be on his last leg. Just knows what he's doing, and I trust him so much. And thank you, Mush Gods, for blessing us with Dave Gettleman. If they don't listen, I understand the Giants are at six. I would trade, like, if it comes down to it, Mush Gods, please tell Gettleman to give six and 17 up to move up and get Daniel Jones. Like, you can listen. I understand he might be there at six. If this team, if my Giants let Daniel Jones get to 17 and think that 16 other teams are going to be fools, they're just wrong. And if they don't get Daniel Jones, who, again, just he basically is Peyton Manning with feet and Tom Brady throwing the ball, and the kid's a superstar. a superstar waiting to happen. If they don't, hell, move up if you have to. Please, Mush Gods. I need Daniel Jones on my Giants. Now, let me get to my Redskins. Because they're another team that I need them to get better so they can compete with my Eagles. Or not my Eagles. I can't believe I just said that. I'm so sorry. This completely ruins the whole segment. I need Dan Snyder running my draft. Dan Snyder, some would say he's the best owner in football. A guy that just wants to win at all costs. And so many owners don't understand that. Dan Snyder does. And please, Mush Gods, please let him run my draft tomorrow. Trade up for Dwayne Haskins. You can't let Dwayne Haskins fall away to 15. There's not going to be 14 other dumb teams passing up on a future star like Dwayne Haskins. So, Mush Gods, if I could ask one thing of you for my Redskins, please let Dan Snyder run my draft. And thank you so much for running Scott McLuhan out of power. I just a disgrace to the franchise. Just really good stuff there. Mush Gods, I thank you. Those are all I ask for tomorrow. Daniel Jones to my Giants. Maybe trade up for him. And definitely trade up for Dwayne Haskins, because there's no way 14 other teams are passing up on a talent like that. Thank you very much. All right, you've been waiting for it. You have been waiting for the Jack Fritz name test. And here we go. I'm going to do the whole first round, from Daniel Jeremiah's last mock draft. Without Mayock there, Jeremiah is the go-to guy. So Daniel Jeremiah is the final mock draft I'm going to use. No problem with Kyler Murray. It's a fine name. When you have the Heisman kind of thing, it just works. And Kyler Murray flows off the tongue. Nick Bosa, we've seen a name. Bosa, obviously Joey Bosa worked before. No problem with Nick Bosa either. He's going to be an absolute superstar. Now here's where it gets tricky. Because he has the New York Jets taking Ed Oliver number 3 overall and passing on Quinnen Williams. And there's one thing, like this is going to be the ultimate test of the Jack Fritz name test. I think it's going to be Ed Oliver, because Ed Oliver should be selling insurance in the suburbs somewhere. Ed Oliver is a horrible football name. If your name's Ed, I'm automatically out on you as a football player. I know the first two names thing, like Aaron Donald, I know that works. I don't see the same kind of success for Ed Oliver. So this is the first huge misstep by the Jets. If they pass on Quinnen Williams, who is going to be a bona fide superstar, Quinnen Williams is just a pure D tackle's name, a big run stuffer. If they take Ed Oliver over Quinnen Williams, the Jets will be in purgatory forever. That's my official first take from this mock draft. Now, this is another one that's going to ruffle some feathers. Josh Allen is supposed to go number 5 overall. And let me just say this, is that I think it's a fine football name. But there should just not be two Josh Allens in the NFL at the same time, both being prominent players. So in my proposed theory here is that they have to have an old-fashioned duel to decide who can be the Josh Allen in the NFL, because you can't have two of them both being young and possibly being around for like a decade. It's just going to confuse too many people. Like, they both can't be good at the same time. And I already think Josh Allen, the quarterback, is trash. And just think about that conversation you're going to have with your friends. Like, Josh Allen's bad. And like the linebacker, no, the quarterback, or this vice versa. Like, it's just going to cause so much confusion. And NFL media, they can't handle that kind of confusion. So the way to settle this in the mature manner is to have a duel. Like, just have a duel. And whoever wins the duel gets to stay in the NFL. Whoever doesn't win the duel is out. They're out of the NFL, because you cannot have that kind of confusion. So if you're taking Josh Allen number 5 overall, just know this. He is going to get in a duel with the other Josh Allen. And if he loses the duel, you're not going to have a top 5 pick. So pick at your own risk. That's just my opinion. Number 6, we have Daniel Jones, who we already went over in the Mush God segment. But since we're out of the Mush God segment, let me just be honest for a second. Daniel Jones is fucking terrible. Like, he is fucking terrible. And, like, I pray to actual God that the Giants take him number 6 overall, because he is absolute trash. Like, why wouldn't you just play, if you're gonna do this, why not play Eli Manning for a whole another year, try to get the top pick and draft one of the actually good quarterbacks coming out next year? Like, why are you wasting a top 6 pick on a trash quarterback? It's the Daniel Daniel. Like, if you're going to be a quarterback, at least go by Dan or something. Like, who goes by the full name? No Daniel actually goes by Daniel. Like, name one of your friends named Dan that actually goes by Daniel. No, it's weird. And that's not an alpha. It's like, go by Dan if you want to be taken seriously, because Daniels aren't taken seriously at all. Number seven, Juwan Taylor. I mean, it's a very strong offensive tackle name. No problems there. Jonah Williams, same kind of thing. I ran into this a lot in the first round. I was expecting more bad names, but coming away from this mock draft, there's just solid names up and down the board. TJ Hockenson. That's a tight end name. Like, that is a tight end name. That guy is going to block the shit out of someone and catch a lot of touchdowns. I mean, TJ Hockenson, I mean, a redshirt sophomore coming out, it's great. Devin White. Devin White's a solid linebacker name. I would prefer if he was a skill position guy, but I think it does work here. I just, when I hear and picture the name Devin White, I'm thinking of a receiver or running back. Dwayne Haskins, it's a strong name. It is a strong name, I will say, for a quarterback. Of the quarterback's names, I like Dwayne Haskins the most, but I've watched Dwayne Haskins, and I'm not a big fan. Devin Bush, I think, is a fucking amazing linebacker name. Like, that guy's going to be a superstar, all in. Rashawn Gary, another just a strong, strong name. I love Rashawn Gary, especially as an edge rusher. I could just see it happening on Sundays. Greedy Williams is a cornerback. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. It really doesn't. I mean, cornerbacks and receivers, in my opinion, are the one position where you can have a first name like Greedy and like Hollywood. And just that works. Like, you're just going to be a superstar, just a great player. All in on Greedy Williams. I think it's a really, really strong football name. Now, Brian Burns, I know a couple people, I've seen him mocked to the Eagles. I don't like that name at all. I don't like that name at all. I was like, I saw his tape. I was like, oh, he looks pretty good. And I was trying to talk myself into him. But what keeps coming back to me, that name is bad. It's a sad name. As a guy's got a lot of talent, reminds me of Javon Curse, but Brian Burns, it's another insurance salesman. Him and Ed Oliver should start a State Farm together. I think that might work out better for them. Andre Dillard, another strong name. It's just a football name. Big guy, right in the trenches where he belongs. That kind of name. Montez Sweat. See, and if you listen to a Go Birds podcast from a couple months ago, I said Montez Sweat should be like a top five pick, and apparently has his heart condition. So the name test can't do anything about a heart condition. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? But overall, it's a strong name, and I hope he gets healthy. Now, this is probably the most proper name for this guy's position, going to the most proper team. Garrett Bradbury is a center, perfect, going to Minnesota. Like, you can already see his Hall of Fame plaque being made right now. In my head, I can already see it being made. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle. Close your eyes and hear the name Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle. No problems there. Lonnie Johnson Jr., I mean, cornerback. You can obviously tell he's a cornerback, and he's going to, that's another, just like, I'm just saying, like, there's just strong names up and down this board. Jeffrey Simmons, either one of those two. Another, it's a superstar name. Like, this first round is going to go down as an all-time first rounder. That's my prediction, just based off these names. Now, here's where this is going to ruffle some more feathers. Clelin Ferrell? No way this guy's going to be good. There's a 0% chance Clelin Ferrell is going to be. Clelin? You can't have the CL combination at the beginning of a first name. It looks too weird on the eyes. And when it looks weird on the eyes, I'm an eye test guy. And Clelin Ferrell? Nah, it's not going to happen at all. Cody Ford might be my favorite offensive lineman in the draft just based off his name. Like, that guy's going to move some people. No doubt about it. Noah Fant, a tight end from Iowa. Now, I feel like there's been a Noah Fant at Iowa for a decade. I swear to God. I feel like they have a Noah Fant every year. This might be the fourth Noah Fant to happen out of Iowa. Like, it's 1,000%, and it makes sense. He's a tight end. It's a perfect name. Now, Daniel Jeremiah has the Eagles drafting Marquise Brown. Okay? Marquise Brown is going to be a superstar, and I hope the Eagles take him and draft and trade Nelson Aguilar. I need Marquise Brown to be my slot receiver. Jonathan Abram is a safety, hard-hitting safety from Mississippi State. I know that sounds like I watched some tape. That's because I did, because I am obsessed with the name Jonathan Abram. Jonathan Abram, you think he's going to be a superstar, Ike?
Who?
Jonathan Abram.
I don't know about Jonathan Abram.
What about Hollywood Brown?
Hollywood Brown. That's the name everybody wants to associate with the Eagles.
Yeah.
We need an offensive lineman, not a wide receiver.
You're so old school. I hate it.
Dude, we got to protect the quarterback, man. Let's go. You build your team in the trenches, man.
Oh, that's so sad. You're so not fun at all. Hate to see this happen to someone so great. Ike, you know, just hate to see that. One's an offensive lineman. How boring. All right. Now, this might offend the Chris Lindstrom household. But dear Chris, I'm not trying to be rude here, but I think you should pick up a hockey stick and start working on your handles because you should be a defenseman in the NHL. Like that's your calling card. You are not an offensive guard. Pick up the stick, shed some weight, and get on the ice because you are going to be a Hall of Fame caliber defenseman. Rock Ya-Sin, another like cornerback, wide receiver, superstar name. Absolutely love it. Byron Murphy from the University of Washington should be undrafted. No Washington Huskies should ever be drafted ever again, in my opinion. Drew Locke. So the reason Drew Locke is undraftable is also because he sucks, but also his name is way too close to Andrew Luck. And that's going to cause more confusion. It's not like you have to have a duel like you have to have for Josh Allen because their names are actually the exact same. Drew Locke and Andrew Luck, it does not work. Like imagine Dick Stockton having to call a Drew Locke versus Andrew Luck game. Like Dick Stockton would have a heart attack. So we're thinking about Dick and wow, that's... Wow. That's so we don't have to a duel for Drew Locke and Andrew Luck, but I don't think Drew Locke should be drafted because Andrew Luck is a star. We have Elgton Jenkins going to the St. Louis Rams, and if football's around in the early 1900s, like Elgton works as an early 1900s football player. Doesn't work in 2019. So I'm sorry about that. Maybe change the name a little bit. And finally, number 32, of course, the Patriots do it again. Dexter Lawrence, absolute superstar defensive tackle name, all in. So that's going to do it for the Jack Fritz name test. Let's get to the Counterpoint Mailbag. All right. Counterpoint Mailbag, which you can always email at counterpointmailbag@gmail.com. The first one comes from Lonus. Ask you this last year, but need to know it for this year. Which draft prospect has a good name, but is playing the wrong position for his name? Isaiah Wynn was your pick last year. And Isaiah Wynn, I thought he was a running back, but he was an offensive tackle. He obviously got hurt, which sucked, but we'll see how that one turns out. For me this year, I mean, I think Chris Lindstrom should be a NHL defensive lineman. So that's a pretty big change. But maybe my one this year would be Devin White. Go play a skill position, in my opinion. So maybe Devin White this year. And the second one from Neil Dutton. First question, where the hell have you been? Well, I've been grinding. Okay. You know, I'm always working. But as you can tell, it's Philly season. I mean, the Phillies, for as much of a diseased Eagles fan I am, I'm just as much of a diseased Phillies fan. I would say I might even be more of a diseased Phillies fan. Like the Phillies, like I love the Phillies. I would say the Eagles were my first love. And then it became the Phillies. Also played baseball my whole life. So I just, you know, I've been grinding. Okay. We're all trying to find our niches in this world. We're trying to find our way in this world. Don't pick on me. And Bart Schreiber was suppressing the Counterpoint podcast. Obviously, that's what happened here. And second, if you were drafted, if you were to be drafted by an NFL team, who would you thank first when being interviewed after hugging the commissioner? I feel like I would have to thank the mush gods because you know I would be mushing my way all the way to the stage. So I think I'd thank the mush gods if I had to do it because the mush gods have been grateful to me except for the Alshon drop. I didn't appreciate that one bit, but what can you do? From Steve Ferrigno. Hi, Jack. My fiance and I have been trying to watch more sports together since she knows I'm a huge Philly sports guy. Back in January, I went to D.C. to decide to visit the Holocaust Museum. While we waited in line for one of the movies, I was trying to look at an exhibit, so I walked away from her. When I got back, I heard her asking a teenager if they were a Vikings fan, as they had a Vikings hoodie on. Right as I got back next to her, and before I could stop her, she decided to say, "Thanks for choking away the playoff spot. The Eagles needed some help." The teen looked like he was about to burst into tears, while his mom came to the rescue trying to laugh it off. We then kept running into them the entire visit, but the kid had taken off his hoodie and tied it around his waist. So my question is my fiance a terrible person, or is that fan enough to make her diseased? I was impressed at her trash-talking game, but thought the time and place and person may have all been wrong. Your word as the Eagles fans are is law as always. Listen, that is a diseased fan move, and it's a hilarious move. Roasting as the There is nothing I find funnier than an adult just roasting a kid. And that is what your fiance did. Fiance sounds dope. Keep her around. Let's go to Adam Arnold. Counterpoint Jack is back. I was just thinking of suggesting bringing back Counterpoint to bring you out of the slump. I heard on High Hopes. I have high hopes about our Phillies and high hopes that Counterpoint Jack comes back with a vengeance with his great insights and fun stories. Get James on a new episode of Counterpoint with you. So, yeah, if you listen to High Hopes, and again, if you're a Phillies fan listening to this podcast and you don't listen to High Hopes, like, you're out of the trust tree. But, yeah, I've just been in an absolute funk. Like, everything I've been saying has been turning to shit. Like, everyone, like, after I physically brought this city Bryce Harper, it's just gone all downhill. Like, every one of my takes have just been cold. Like, just everything I write is just at freezing cold takes because they just don't work well at all. Let's go to, well, there's a lot of, last one here, because there's like three. I put the question out on Twitter, and since I've definitely gained a lot of followers since the last time I did Counterpoint, people don't realize that Counterpoint is a Eagles podcast, and I just have a bunch of Phillies questions in here. So I guess it's good for the brand, but let's get back to some Counterpoint questions. From Teddy Buriani. Hey, Jack, it's been a while. The volume of baseball tweets and lack of football ones leading up to the draft has been really worrisome about your commitment to the trust tree. Listen, the commitment to the trust tree is always there, but sometimes you got to give the people what they want. And what the people want right now are my Phillies takes. So I think, I'm trying to make a living out here. You know, I don't know what you want me to do. Anyway, where do you stand on the Wentz was bad last season and Nick Foles saved their season train? Taking out wins on paper, our guy had a pretty good season stat-wise. He only had 5 wins, but I fully blame Jim Schwartz for the Tennessee and Carolina losses. I blame Tennessee on Jim and more Corey Graham, but the Carolina loss, I mean, they got to score more points, and he had the ball in his hands at the end of the game. I don't think that's totally – I think it's on both of them. And he continues on. Carson got a double-digit fourth-quarter leads. You have to keep them. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, the Saints game was a stinker, but I think that game alone left a way worse taste in everyone's mouth than deserved. I agree. Like, if you take out the Saints game, he was a top-10 quarterback in the league last year with a broken back and a broken knee. Like, let's leave him alone. And his first game was the Cowboys game where he started rough and had a monster game that was spoiled by his defense, having no idea how to cover Amari Cooper. And the first time anyone made a good play covering him, it happened to be tipped up into his hands. Pray for Sewell. How do you assess how Carson did this year, and do you think that Nick Foles had that great of a year? Also, any draft prospects you're interested in, name or talent? I'll give you my one draft prospect sleeper that I absolutely love, and that is Darnell Savage, just an absolute superstar. If they draft him, he'll be just a star. And the one guy who I do want to mention that I saw Elliot, he wrote about on 94WIP.com. He wrote about twice, and I would just like Elliot to not write about him anymore, is Jerry Tillery, who is apparently a defensive tackle from Notre Dame. I think Jerry Tillery should probably get into Sunday's Game of Thrones because that guy is not a football player. Jerry is not a football name, and Tillery, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. There's no way that guy's going to be good. Like, if I could bank on one player being absolutely horrible in this draft, it's Jerry Tillery. Jerry Tillery? Get out of here. No interest in that. And yeah, I think the whole narrative around Carson has been completely wrong. And the narrative around Nick Foles, who was literally mostly trash. He wasn't trash. He was fine. But like, he had 11 touchdowns and 8 picks. And he, outside the Texans game, was just fine. Like, he was just fine. And good for Nick and good job in Jacksonville and whatever. But let's all relax on the Carson slander. And again, if you're in the trust tree, you're keeping a list, because when Carson comes back to MVP form this year, they'll all remember. For as much as the North remembers, the trust tree also remembers as well. That's going to do it for this episode of the Counterpoint Podcast. I will be back soon.